Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, and Marquise Munson taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And it is a big weekend in college football. The Big Ten back in action. Tennessee taking on Alabama. And to help us talk about all of that and more, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Ryan McGee from ESPN, also co-host of Marty and McGee. Ryan, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm good. It's just, you know, ready to get on with another weekend. Marty was up at App State last night, and I was talking him down the mountain, and now I'm going to talk him into some radio in the morning.
There you go. Just got to lead him down the right path, Ryan. That's what you're
there
for.
That's right. That's my job. My job is to just hang on like a, I always say, when you're on a show with Marty, it's like water skiing. You just try not to let the rope get yanked out of your hands.
So, Ryan, the Vols just got destroyed by Kentucky last week. It was ugly. Two pick sixes for Garantano. When you look at this Tennessee football program right now, where do you think it is? And are Tennessee fans fooling themselves that they can get back to an elite status anytime soon?
Well, I mean, I feel like I've had this conversation with everybody a million times, whether it's you guys or whether it's my in-laws or my college roommates. And you know, what I say all the time is that everyone's waiting, it feels like, on this big revelatory moment, like, this is it, we're back. You know, and it's just not that simple. And the reality is that this is a really, really long process. And when you go back to that game I bring up all the time, which was, what, 3 years ago, and it was the Georgia game, and it was the only time I've ever seen fans pouring out of Neyland Stadium a quarter and a half into a football game. I went out in the street and took pictures of it because it just blew me away. I was actually went scrolling through my old camera roll looking for that picture last night. And it's just when you go from there, and that's where you were at rock bottom for the third time in 10 years or whatever it was, it's just a long way back from that. And so that's how you end up with no quarterbacks. I mean, that's how you end up in a situation where you got a fifth-year senior who doesn't seem to have improved, and you've got two or three other guys that clearly aren't ready yet to start but probably going to have to. And so that's how you get there. And so that's a really long way of saying that I believe that the battleship is slowly but surely being turned around, but that takes a long time. And once you get the momentum going in the right direction, you get it going in the right direction. But unfortunately, after more than 10 years, you know, it's hard to say that to anyone without just getting an automatic eye roll or a punch in the face.
Yeah. Well, look, and we're going to find out, you know, with quarterback, we just had one of Vol Twitter's finest, Ryan, on here, you know, saying what I think a lot of fans probably feel like, hey, just throw that freshman out there and let's see. I mean, personally, I wouldn't do that against Alabama, but, you know, we're going to find out what he does at quarterback, and I think it's a problem that they don't have anyone better as an alternative. But I think my biggest thing right now with Pruitt, Ryan, is the staff changes. There's been so many. I find that a little bit worrisome at this point. Am I overreacting?
No, I agree with that. And I think that, you know, he's the product of that Alabama environment where there are staff changes all the time. But the difference is that those staff changes, number one, are people leaving for head coaching jobs. And number two, you have a program that is built to withstand those things. The coaching changes happening in Knoxville are, you know, coaching changes being made by the head coach, and they're being made in the middle of the season, and you don't have the kind of foundation that will allow you to withstand those transitions as easily. Certainly not, you know, in the middle of October. So, yeah, that part is troubling because and he was very emotional talking about going to a friend and saying this is it. And, you know, I'll talk to my dad all the time, who was a college president. You know, what was the hardest part of his job? And he always says the hardest part of his job is having to let go of the people who got you to where you are, but you know they can't get you to where you need to go. They help you build what you're trying to build, but there's a point where they just can't keep up any longer, and they're just not the person that's going to get you there. And so, you know, if you want to look at it that way, then, you know, maybe it's a coach doing what he thinks he's supposed to do, but certainly from the outside, it doesn't look great.
Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Ryan, obviously a tough matchup for Tennessee this weekend against Alabama. That's putting it mildly. But you look at this Alabama offense right now, I thought Georgia was going to have a decent shot at least slowing them down, and they did for a while. But then in the second half, Alabama just took over that game. When you look around the country right now, is there anybody that can stop that Alabama offense?
I don't know. I really don't. And I've really kind of started trying to watch Clemson now. And Georgia Tech is a terrible measuring stick because they're just bad. But that's the only, really probably the only team that matters at this point, because, you know, outside of Lexington, Kentucky, and no one's really playing defense. Listen, Georgia's defense is good. The problem is Alabama's got four Heisman candidates, you know, in that offense. They do. You know, they really do. And it's funny, we had we had Najee Harris on Marty McGee last week, you know, 2 hours before his coach tested positive for COVID. And, you know, I'm like, I walked away thinking, this dude, this 10 touchdowns in three games, you know, it had five the weekend before. I'm like, this is their Heisman candidate. And then you saw what Mac Jones did, and you're like, oh, wait, that's their Heisman candidate. And then you see the guys catching footballs, you're like, wait, those are their two Heisman candidates. So they're just really, really good. And yeah, here we are. You never believed that if you'd asked me 7 years ago that we'd be having a conversation about Alabama's high-powered offense and not the defense. I'd have told you you're crazy, but they're just that good. Because, listen, Georgia's good, and their defense is really good. And so going forward, it's going to be interesting to see what Georgia does to everyone else. And it'll be, I think, even more impressive what Alabama did.
So, Ryan, what's your excitement level for Big Ten football? Starting up this week, Nebraska gets the nice gift of, Justin Fields and company. But how much does this enhance college football, and what are you looking at with that first week slate?
Well, honestly, no offense to everyone else in the conference, I wanted the Big Ten to come back and play this fall just because of the kid you just mentioned. Justin Fields can play. And he is really good. And, you know, regardless of however many games they play or what anybody wants to say about when they started the season, all that stuff, Ohio State is a playoff contender. Ohio State is one of the three best teams in the country, and it's just talent-wise. And you look at what they were like last year, and when Fields really hit his stride, man, they're really good. And so I think it's important for college football that Ohio State – listen, the Big Ten and the Pac-12, great – but it's really, to me, about Justin Fields and Ohio State being back in the mix. And listen, Penn State's really good too, but Ohio State's it. And it would have been the saddest thing for me about Ohio State potentially not playing this fall was that we were probably done seeing Justin Fields play college football. If they'd have come back in the spring, I'm pretty sure he would have been gone. And so the fact that we get a chance to see him play now, you know, in kind of this golden age of quarterbacks, certainly transfer quarterbacks, then that's a win for everybody, whether you like Ohio State or not.
And, Ryan, obviously Justin Fields, a former Georgia quarterback.
Yeah.
Did the performance that Stetson Bennett have against Alabama change your view at all at what they should do at the quarterback position?
Well, you know, it's hard to use that as what you're – you know, I keep using that term measuring stick, but it's hard for me to gauge. Just like this weekend, it's going to be, I think, completely unfair for anyone to try and determine – what the Tennessee quarterbacks look like because they're playing against Alabama. And so, yeah, I think they'll stick with Stetson Bennett. I think they probably should. And, you know, he's good. It's a great story. But at the end of the day, you know, that guy was playing Baker Mayfield on the scout team, 2 years ago? And
yeah.
And then he was stepping out on the field against Alabama. So, you know, I think he's the guy, but I think, unfortunately, Alabama's just better than they were.
So, Ryan, I gotta give you a big compliment here. You write a lot of great stuff at ESPN.com. This piece on the cartels at, if I'm saying that right, at Stephen F. Austin University, just such a great story. For listeners who have not read it yet, you need to go read it, but tell us about that story.
Yeah, so it's the cartels, and the only reason I know that is because I said cartel, and they both corrected me.
There you go.
So Kobe Carthel is – a stud. He was a stud linebacker years ago at Angelo State, and in small college football, you know, much like where I grew up in North Carolina, much like Tennessee, but Texas more than anywhere else in the world, small college football, Division II, FCS is a really, really big deal, and there's so many schools, and the Carthels are like the royal family when it comes to small college football in Texas. And so, yeah, at Stephen F. Austin last Wednesday, while we were all freaking out about Nick Saban testing positive for COVID, Kobe Carthel, the coach at Stephen F. Austin, tested positive for COVID, and that was his second positive test in 3 days. So he was official. He had to get out of there, and he called home to his parents, and he told his mom, "Mom, I've got coronavirus." And then he said, "I need you to put Dad on the phone." And Dad was on a tractor, cotton farmer in the panhandle of Texas up near Amarillo. And the way the dad, Don Carthel, said it to me was, he said, "I left the tractor running, and I told my wife, turn the tractor off, I'm driving to Nacogdoches." So he asked his dad, Don Carthel, to be the interim head coach. And 68 years old and was a long-time small college head coach and was sitting on 124 wins and thought he was done and would never get that milestone win. And lo and behold, he was on the sideline Saturday, and Kobe was in his truck in the parking lot where he could see into the stadium. But that's was amazing. Hermetically sealed. You know, he was socially distanced from everybody listening on the head. He couldn't talk on the headset, but he could listen on the headset. And yeah, Dad got the win and the game ball and the whole thing. So I appreciate you bringing that. And Joe, you know the deal. I saw that story because I follow Stephen F. Austin, because I write the bottom 10 for ESPN.com, and a lot of bottom 10 teams play Stephen F. Austin. And I was watching that story, and I kept watching to see if anybody else was writing it. And nobody else was writing it. And when I got the SID on the phone, I was like, "Has anybody else called you?" He's like, "No." I'm like, "Yes." So anyhow, I really enjoyed doing it. I grew up on small college campuses, and any excuse I can find to write an FCS story or a Division II story, I do it. In this case, I got to write them, and it was a father and son, man. It was great.
Yeah, great, great, great story.
Yeah, great story indeed. Check it out if you haven't yet on ESPN.com. Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Ryan, appreciate you joining us as always, brother. Have a great weekend.
Hey, always enjoy the fourth Saturday in October.
That's right.
That's right. Ryan McGee, ladies and gentlemen, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Really great stuff as always from him. Really enjoy having him on every Friday at 7 a.m. When we come back, we'll take a look at the SEC schedule this week and break it down. But first, Joe, you have a word from FanDuel.
I do. I have the Joe Rexrode word on FanDuel Sportsbook because Tennessee is about to get sports betting. And FanDuel Sportsbook has $50 in free bets for users who sign up. $50 free site credit. Register. You verify early. There's no deposit for America's number one sports betting site. It's that for a reason. They got odds on all the biggest sports. They got a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and lock it in. They have a ton of games. Fantasy football games, different sports. I've played a few of them. It's very easy and fun to do. And unlike other sports books, when you win, FanDuel gets your cash in as little as 24 hours because it's the right thing to do. The right thing for you to do, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Check out the app for yourself. Sign up or register. Use promo code Joe, J-O-E, so they know we sent you. You verify your account. You get $50 in site credit when the FanDuel Sportsbook is live with promo code Joe. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit, non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 800-889-9789.
We'll be right back on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Friday morning. And you hear that music, you know what it means. It's time to look ahead at the SEC slate this week in college football. And as we know, no Vanderbilt this week. They have their bye week as originally scheduled. So 2 weeks off in a row for Vanderbilt, one due to COVID. This one a regularly scheduled bye week. Hopefully they're back and available to play next Saturday as Ole Miss comes to town. So we look forward to that. We're going to get to the Alabama-Tennessee matchup a lot here in today's show. So let's go around the rest of the SEC. A light schedule in the SEC this week. Only four games. And the Auburn-Ole Miss game, to me, very interesting. That takes place tomorrow at 11 a.m. Auburn favored by 3.5 against Ole Miss. Ole Miss is a team that, when they're hot offensively, they can put up a ton of points. And Auburn, quite frankly, Auburn's lucky not to be 0-4. They have struggled mightily so far this year. The Gus bus may be running out of gas.
Yeah,
they got some problems.
Gus watch right now because, yeah, you go lose that one. I mean, South Carolina is that's a devastating loss to their season, to him. But you follow that up and lose this game to Lane in his first year there with the 1-3. I understand Ole Miss had a great night offensively against that Alabama defense, but this is a survival game for Gus. I'm not saying he's like going to be fired mid-season, but you know, it's I think Auburn Nation, Auburn Twitter. What's Auburn Twitter looking like these days? Yeah, we want to talk about different SEC fan bases. The Gus thing is—it's very disappointing because I thought with Bo Nix, he's got pros he's throwing to. I understand they lost some top guys on that defensive front, but this has been very disappointing.
Very disappointing indeed. And look, I mean, Ole Miss—they can be as good as they want to be offensively. Auburn should be able to move the ball. I mean, Ole Miss's defense is awful. I mean, I think. I'm not sure there's a program in the country that couldn't move the ball against Ole Miss's defense right now. It's that bad. So at least if you're Auburn, if you get in trouble, just like drive back and throw it up in the air to Seth Williams. Let him run underneath it and catch it. Like that's pretty much been the strategy for people playing against Ole Miss so far.
Yeah.
Just throw it up in the air, go get it.
I mean, this should be a high scoring game. You know? This should be a fun one to watch. A little SEC Network at 11.
Looking around the rest of the SEC, South Carolina against LSU. And it's been a couple weeks since we've seen LSU play. Their game against Florida last week got postponed due to COVID. But they had a bad loss to Missouri in their last game. South Carolina, winners of two games in a row, including a big win against Auburn last week. This is an interesting matchup. LSU at home favored by 6. But Will Muschamp's got South Carolina playing pretty well right now.
I mean, this can't be an interesting matchup, though, right? For Coach
O?
Man. So what's the deal? Miles Brennan.
He's not playing.
He's out for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that makes it more interesting. And, yeah, South Carolina has figured some stuff out. I mean, look, even against Tennessee in the opener, Tennessee was clearly the better team, but they found some things to get Shai Smith the ball. And new OC there. It seems like that's been a good hire so far. I don't know what it's going to look like without Brennan, who's been up and down, but still, they're explosive. Their problem has been defense. Got to figure that out. There's too many players on that defense for them to play defense like this. How much of a distraction also is, you know, the sanctions this week?
Yeah.
They self-imposed some sanctions. You know, we get this ugly story of the booster, you know, ripping off a hospital and cleaning his money with a recruit payoff. I wonder how many times that's happened. Laundering money via recruit money.
It's probably
it's actually
not the first.
It's not, you know, like it kind of makes sense. There should be a movie on that. But how much of a distraction is that for LSU? I don't know. Maybe some. Could be interesting, I guess. My initial take is like, okay, they'll handle them at home, but I don't know with LSU.
Let me ask you this. If they look just awful on defense again and they lose this game, do they fire Bo Pelini next week?
Bo Pelini that's a good question. The thing about Bo Pelini is, and I know this for a fact, Bo Pelini's tough. Bo Pelini, I mean, look, there's recorded evidence of this, too, from when he was at Nebraska. You know, he's an intense guy who rubs some people the wrong way. And that's fine if you're doing well. I can't imagine what it must be like with this. And if it keeps going this way, I don't know. Will Coach O just raise his hand and say, I blew this one. Bye, Bo. I don't know. But this does not speak well of him because I understand you've lost a lot of guys and you've had – it's a crazy year with everything. You've got way too many good football players to play defense like that.
Yeah, you do. And they've – look, I knew there was going to be a step back, obviously, from what they were a year ago. Their defense, I mean, it doesn't even look like it's the same program right now on defense for LSU. So a big game for them against South Carolina. A scheduling shift has caused the Kentucky-Missouri game to take place this week. I think Missouri was originally scheduled to play Florida this week, and they've moved that around due to COVID outbreaks with Florida. We'll see if Florida's able to come back and play next week. But Kentucky against Missouri. Kentucky obviously riding very high right now after their win against Tennessee. Missouri looks very different offensively under Connor Bazelak at the quarterback position. This is a very interesting matchup to me. Kentucky favored on the road by 5.5, but Missouri with that offense right now, they look great against LSU. Now, how much of that is Missouri? How much of that is LSU? We'll find out, because I think Kentucky's got a pretty good defense.
Like, is it okay for me to be excited about this game?
Yeah.
Like, normally it's like Kentucky, Missouri. Okay. So is that on the SEC Network alternate channel?
It's regular SEC Network.
Well, right? Yeah. When you get COVID involved and you get, I mean, who knows when Florida will play again? Let's face it, this whole entire slate is pretty weak now. It's actually kind of a good week for the Big Ten to debut because there's a void. But this game is, I'm looking forward to this game. You know, I just think Kentucky's really solid. Tennessee should have beat Kentucky and would normally beat them. And I know people laugh at me. Kentucky fans would just cackle. Tennessee wins 7, if not 8 of 10 times they play them this year. I mean, laugh at me all you want. I believe it. But
even with JG.
Yeah, well, JG's not going to – I mean, JG – look, if JG gave the other team 2 free touchdowns every game, then he actually would have been, like, removed permanently a long time ago, right?
I mean, we think.
Well, fair. I think so. I mean, last week was just an extraordinarily bad moment for him. But Kentucky still is solid. They just – it's a solid team. They've got some good guys on defense. And, you know, Terry Wilson, look, they are limited until they get a QB. And maybe Joey Gatewood's a guy eventually who can be efficient. But I thought Terry Wilson made some big throws just to put the, you know, just put the dirt on the Vols in the second half. Of course, you know, the Vols give up those slants like they – it's almost like – I mean – talk about giving up inside leverage. I mean, it's got to be the easiest thing in the world to throw a slant on Tennessee's defense right now, you know?
It's bad.
Yeah. But
I mean, it's every game, right over the middle. I mean, that's what Georgia did. That's how they moved the ball. It's just throwing it right over the middle.
Right, like do something different. Move a linebacker in there. Something, man. But
don't worry. Pruitt's defensive line coach now, so it's all going to change.
I sense some sarcasm there.
There's a little sarcasm.
Hey, that better make a difference.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, yes.
I mean, if you fire someone, and the performance of that D-line hasn't been great, but if you fire someone and you take over, let's see it.
There better be significant improvement. Now, I don't know what that looks like, especially this week against Alabama and that offensive line.
Right.
But
right.
There better be some significant improvement if you're just going to make a move like that. And also, again, we've talked about this both with Pruitt and with Mike Vrabel. I don't know how big a fan I am of like a head coach spending a lot of time with one specific position during the course of a game, but apparently he's going to have to. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes as well on the sideline.
Yeah, but again, it is. You're right. Like this is like you do that, and then that's when you want to play like you play Vanderbilt that way. Like D line gets like 8 TFLs. You know, it's probably not going to look good this week.
Why not?
But hey, maybe they'll surprise us. You know, there's always a scenario.
Well, it's interesting because you know. We went into this season saying, all right, the next step for Tennessee is, you know, win the games you're supposed to win and also don't get crushed by Georgia, Alabama, Florida. They ended up getting crushed in the second half by Georgia, but you could make, I guess, an argument, you know, the first half that you hung in there, you got the lead, whatever. You feel okay about that?
Yeah, it's a little progress, I think.
And then last week was a total disaster. But now, I feel like everybody's just expecting Tennessee to get massacred in this game against Alabama. And it's interesting how we've gone from, hey, don't get crushed against Alabama to how are they going to hold Alabama under 65 points in this game? Like, it's been a very quick transition there.
Big Orange Mac says 72.
He did say 72.
Big Orange Mac called his shot, 72. It's changed a lot. But look, like Ryan McGee said, it's Tennessee struggling and it's a bad matchup. But, like, this is an incredible offense. I mean, what did Pruitt say this week? He said it's the best he's ever seen in his life. He's seen some good ones too. I don't know that.
There's a little window dressing there, but yeah.
Sure. I mean, you're going to have some coach speak, but I mean, I don't think he's way off. I do think maybe the Tua of two years ago offense might be better than this.
Even last year before Tua got hurt, like that offense was still pretty good.
Yeah,
so.
They were so bad on D last year with all those injuries.
I mean,
was
think
hard,
about
you forget. You
like
know?
Think about it. You had Josh Jacobs. You had Najee. You had Damian Harris. You had Ruggs,
insane.
Judy,
insane.
Irv Smith, who's a tight end for the Vikings now, and had all these pieces there. So I don't know if it's like the
and
most.
And a bunch of NFL guys on the offensive line.
Exactly.
So. But that's where I think that this one could be a little bit better. This offensive line is pretty good for Alabama. Like maybe the best they've had around there in a long time. And that's saying something because they got a good offensive line every single year. So it's going to be tough for Tennessee, I think, to generate a ton of pressure on Saturday.
The more you talk about it, I'm liking the 72.
72.
We're setting the over-under on that.
Maybe Saban will pump the brakes a little bit before then. When we come back, what are the benefits to making a quarterback change this weekend for Tennessee against a team like Alabama? We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. But first, during Big Night at the Museum, Modern Music Masters will hold history in their hands playing timeless songs on some of country music's most treasured instruments. Premiering at 8 p.m. on October 28th, live on the Country Music Hall of Fame's YouTube channel, Big Night is a much-needed fundraiser for the museum and an unprecedented musical event. Subscribe at countrymusichalloffame.org/YouTube and tune in on October 28th. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I think Maurer will probably play. We have a lot of respect for Garantano. They both played against us in the past.
Yep.
I think both are very capable, good athletes, can both throw it. I think that it's important that you can push the pocket and affect these guys. They try to make a lot of explosive plays, especially when you play middle of the field coverage. They're going to throw the ball down the field a lot. They're going to be protection conscious. They're very sound in what they do. They have about all the multiples on offense that anyone could have. I think they do a really, really good job in the way they try to attack you. But I think it's going to be really important that we don't give up big plays in the game, that we tackle well, that we can stop the run and create some positive down and distance situations, and then we get off the field on third down. So those are going to be really critical factors, I think, in this game for us. And, you know, their defense is playing really well, too, and they play a lot more split safety coverages, so makes it a little bit harder, I think, where you really have to be able to run the ball effectively when people try to do that. So we're going to have great balance on offense.
That was Alabama head coach Nick Saban yesterday on his radio show, looking ahead to the matchup against Tennessee, and started off that clip saying he thinks Maurer's going to play. Now, whether that is him thinking Maurer's going to start or at some point Maurer's going to show up in the game, I don't know. But maybe Nick Saban knows something we don't.
He's basically saying, like, hey, Jeremy Pruitt, I know what you're trying to do by not naming his starting quarterback, by trying to, like, throw me off, but I'm just going to prepare for both your quarterbacks, okay? Is that cool?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's not like – I mean, seriously, do you think Alabama is going to – but wait a minute. We got to look at some different stuff here.
Oh,
Maurer's going to be in
there. Brian Maurer.
And, again, it's not even like you're talking really a style change. Now, Maurer is more athletic, I think, than Garantano and can probably do a little more running around. Although that's – I mean, Garantano can actually do that stuff sometimes. He just doesn't do it that much. But Maurer's probably a little bit more of a threat getting outside the pocket. But yeah, it's base. You know, you're not. It's not like a big stylistic change between quarterbacks. That's the only way you're, you know, making an opponent work harder on something. You know, or guess. Yeah, Alabama's gonna be fine. You know, whoever number whatever you put back there, they'll do what they do.
And it has been interesting to watch this week. We had Trey Wallace on from Fox Sports Knoxville on Wednesday here on the show, and he was talking about, you know, they've been working a bunch of different guys at the quarterback position all week in practice with the ones and with the twos. And it's interesting to me, Joe, because you feel like when you're preparing for a game like this, you get your one quarterback and then maybe two, and you just roll with those two guys in the week of practice because you need the reps. But it sounds like, you know, four guys pretty much been getting reps all week at quarterback, which is interesting to me.
Well, but that was he was talking about Tuesday, right?
Yes.
I mean, to me, that would be crazy to do it all week. I mean, I guess I would hope that was the one day that Pruitt was like, okay, let's give everybody a real look, and then we're going
to
start.
But don't you have to have some idea heading to the week? Like, what is one day of practice with reps really going to show you?
I don't know.
If you're Jeremy Pruitt.
Well, that's a good question, too, but you can't split them like that all week either. You're not going to have anyone ready. That's the classic, you know, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. I mean, you got to have a game plan. You got to have plays that you think will work, and you got to have your quarterback rep those plays all week. That's so much more important than I think some people realize about these games, especially in college. Like, it's not like all these kids are like, "Hey, here's our whole playbook, and let's just pull this one out of the thin air." You know, you have to practice these things to get any kind of precision. So I would assume Pruitt at least got it down to two guys the rest of the week.
It's got
to
be Maurer and Garantano, right?
I would think so. Now, Does that mean that you don't give any to a Bailey? No. I think you're still – you also think in long view here, long term, like – because down the road, certainly, I think Harrison Bailey could be doing some quarterbacking for this team. I just wouldn't do a lot of it this week.
And I do think that Harrison Bailey has moved into the three hole at this point. Yeah. I would put it – if Garantano starts Saturday, Maurer's probably the next guy coming in. And then I think after that, it's probably Harrison Bailey. I just don't – based on what I've seen from JT Shrout in the past – based on them yanking him after one throw, basically, on Saturday against Kentucky, I just think he's in a spot right now where they don't trust him, and he's just I doubt he ever sees the field again for Tennessee. That's just my initial gut reaction.
Well, and I think he probably would have been somewhere else if it was a normal offseason, too. I mean, I think the writing was kind of on the wall for him last year when the guy who was a true freshman surpassed him, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's the easiest of the whole quarterback room with Tennessee right now. I think that's the easiest thing to diagnose. And I do think you're right. I think Garantano and Maurer are the two guys right now you have to focus on while also getting Harrison Bailey ready, because both of those guys have had their issues and you don't know how it's going to go. And maybe at some point, as Big Orange Mac pleaded earlier, and a lot of Vols fans are pleading right now, hey, let's just see what he can do. I get it. I wouldn't do it Saturday. I wouldn't do it tomorrow.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texted in, Nick Saban was lying. The Vols have nothing on Bama, and this is coming from a Vols fan. Saban could come out and say the Vols have no chance against us and still could hang 40 or 50 on them. Stop with the coach speak, Nick.
Hey, I give Nick Saban props, man. And covering him in this league, he knows how to hype up a fight, even though when there's no fight there. Like, he knows how to hype up a fight. Like, he doesn't care if it's Colorado State. Like, oh, man, they got a good defense, man. Did you see Gullup out there, wide receiver? Like, he's tough to deal with. Like, he'll try to hype it up so much to where it's like, maybe they can score some points against Alabama. And then Alabama just mollywops them in the first quarter of the game.
Just trying to counteract the rat poison, Munson. I mean, he's no Lou Holtz, but, yeah, he's pretty good at that stuff. I will say this. I think Nick Saban, when he looks at Tennessee – He has to look at them and say, you know what? That is a good offensive line. Those are good backs. And we are not great right now on that side of the ball. Again, if the Vols could get someone at quarterback who can not give the other team the ball and can make some simple throws, and you have to make some tough throws too to score touchdowns, but make some simple throws, I think that Tennessee can score some points in this game. And that's your only way to hang in, which I think is probably the best-case scenario, hang in for a lot of the game, is to have those 9-minute drives. But I think it's possible offensively for Tennessee to have success in this game more than in most of these matchups in the last however many years you want to go back. Like, a lot of these years, it's like both. They can't stop them, and just that D-line for Alabama is just
too much.
It's not that way anymore, you know? It really isn't. But Tennessee's got to exploit that and got to have a good plan from Jim Chaney to exploit it.
They do, and they've got to get good quarterback play, but you hit it right there. It doesn't really matter who the quarterback is if you don't get better stuff out of your offensive coordinator. I mean, he's got to be better. I think he's been really bad so far this year in terms of the diversity and what he's calling in the plays, and sometimes, you know, his passing out options offensively has basically been, hey, run a 10-yard out to Josh Palmer, or, hey, we're going to chuck the ball down the field. There's no slant route. There's no intermediate route. That's what they're doing offensively, and that's got to get better. How much of that's on the quarterback? I don't know. Maybe that's all you trust him to do. And if that's the case, what are you doing? Put somebody else in. If he can't do those things at this point as a fifth-year quarterback, put somebody else in. But I think it's been a really poor start to the year for Jim Chaney. That's got to change. I mean, not even in this Alabama game, but as they move forward here, that's got to be a big thing that changes with this offense, too.
One play I don't think they'll have is the 5-yard out to the field side.
Probably not.
That Jeremy Pruitt told us twice after the game.
I didn't like
Saturday.
That play call. Well, didn't think that was a very good play call there. That's on me. That's on me for the play call, but didn't like that.
That's
one.
Pretty good. That's pretty good. We I need to get do, Big Orange Mac back on. Can you do Big Orange Mac?
No, I'm not even going to try to do that.
I mean,
was epic.
I could just listen to that guy talk all day.
I could, too. And apparently, you know, imagine listening to him and Pruitt talk together. It's great.
Hey, real quick. So, Ubbin tweeted that story. This is a quote from Big Orange Mac. I get on dating apps, and I'm like, hey, I'm a UT fan. We've had some stuff the last few years, but you should be able to tell that I'm loyal. I ain't cheating. It's just pure gold, man. Gold. It's just pure gold.
That's great stuff there. When we come back, it's time for Call Your Shot Friday. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Give us your bold predictions for the weekend. Call Your Shot Friday coming up next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road, as we do each and every Friday at 7:45. Give us your bold predictions in the world of sports over the weekend. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Now, Munson, since this is your final edition of Call Your Shot Friday, would you like to do the honors and go first?
Well, hold on now. You could still keep doing this with us, too, if you want.
Man, you...
Come on!
Joe does not want
don't
to let
leave
you
us!
I know, Joe. I know. Look,
you got to break the news okay to him easy.
You can just text it. You can just text in, man.
Oh, I'll text in.
Text in your called shot there every Friday.
Big Crimson Mac. Text in.
Nice.
Big Crimson Mac.
You should. You should start a burner account, yes. Big Crimson Mac.
I should. If it's not
but
taken.
We already blew it. Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah, you already blew it. But I can change it up. I can come up with something different. But so I got to put a lot of things in existence since I will no longer be here to put them into existence. So, existence number one for my called shot, the Dodgers will win this series in six, and
okay,
ending this World Series drought that I've been watching for the last 30 years of my life.
Okay.
So, that's one of them. Here's another one. Despite what you believe in the Oakland Raiders, or Las Vegas Raiders, don't know how to handle COVID, they will still make the playoffs this year.
Okay.
I have the Raiders making the playoffs.
That's a good parting shot.
I like
right
it
there. That's a good parting shot.
Just to be able to play?
Yeah, just to clear.
Yeah,
their O-line got sent home, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know who's going to be blocking for Derek Carr, but I don't think it matters either way because he's still going to get hit regardless. So, they're going to play. And they might – you know what? Here it is. Even though they're missing offensive linemen, they will still win this weekend.
Wow. That's
against
bold.
Tom Brady and the Bucks.
Bucks are riding high right now.
I kind of like that one, too. You were calling
nice stuff.
Shots.
I like it, Munson. That's
all,
good stuff.
All my teams. That's it.
That's good stuff.
I'm putting things into existence. That's all.
Anything you want to say about Alabama?
And the Lakers will win another one.
Okay. He's preemptive call okay shot next
Alabama
year.
Basketball, national title. You got anything else?
Yeah, anything else?
Alabama softball.
Okay.
For sure.
All right.
National champions.
I like it.
Alabama softball, not basketball. They will make the tournament, though. Let's throw that out there in existence, too. Alabama basketball will make the NCAA tournament.
There you go.
If there is an NCAA tournament.
This is an explosion of
there's
shots.
There's about nine called shots for Munson there. I
Alabama
like it.
Football will going make it to the national championship this year against Ohio State, where they'll defeat Justin Fields in the
oh,
Ohio
man.
State he's,
there he goes again.
Man.
Mac like Jones it will be in New
he's
York
still
City
going
for the Heisman Trophy.
Come on.
Sitting right next to another teammate of his by the name of Jalen Waddle.
All right.
Okay, that shot was
Alabama baseball will still not make it to a tournament, the SEC tournament, because they I don't know when the last time they made the SEC tournament, man, but it's been a while. So, yeah, there you go.
I like it. I like it.
Well done.
Joe, what is your called shot for the weekend?
Yeah, so this one, I feel pretty good about this one, and it could be taken a variety of ways. I'm going to let people interpret how they like. Okay,
I don't but know
this
if I
is,
like this.
This
okay
is my called shot. It is with the Tennessee-Alabama game. The last offensive snap for Tennessee will be taken by Harrison Bailey.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's it.
Is that because, I mean,
yeah okay, you
there's
know,
a lot
how,
of different reasons
could
that
it,
could be the case.
Yeah, you know, like the more, I think the more likely reason is because by then the game will be over and they're going to get him some reps.
Okay.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. Maybe it could be Big Orange Max fantasy scenario.
He
the freshman
in
leads the team down the field, down five, a minute left. He goes Ryan Tannehill on that Alabama defense. It could be that, too.
It could be that.
Either way, my shot is that he will take the last snap.
I like it. I like it. I'm going to go back with the Titans for my called shot, and this is the week, Joe. The drought finally ends for Jadeveon Clowney. He gets a sack on Sunday against the Steelers. I don't know how it happens. I don't know if Roethlisberger runs straight into him and he takes him down. But Jadeveon Clowney gets a sack on Sunday against the Steelers.
Well, Titans fans,
I don't feel good about that one.
Well, Titans fans should be excited about that because you called the 50-yard-plus run for Derrick Henry last week.
I did.
You were dead on. That may have been one that made more sense, I guess. But it makes sense for him to get a sack every now and then, too. I will say, we've talked about it all week.
He can't go the whole season without one, right?
Right. I mean, he had three last year. So, to me, he could have a good year this year and have five or six. But, yeah, you got to get one here and there. You got to get the quarterback down. I will say, the last two quarterbacks, Clowney has won against his blocker and been in position to sack the quarterback and has not been able to catch the quarterback. So this week,
it happens.
It's there. I like that shot.
I'm calling it. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caleb texts in and says, Tennessee will lead Alabama at halftime by 10 points. That's a called shot.
Wow. There is a shot. There is a shot.
That would mean at some point, like, you have to have, like, picked off Mac Jones once or twice, right, for that to be possible.
Probably.
I mean, Alabama's going to – they'll score.
Bat a ball at the line, pick, you know, Velus Jones return, something like that. Yeah, you would think so. But football is crazy. That's who called that shot?
Caleb,
okay.
Now, they did lead Georgia at halftime. It wasn't by 10, but they did lead Georgia at halftime.
They did.
Alabama may be a little bit better than Georgia.
I mean, the Vols have had three straight terrible halves of football, so they're due for a better one.
And Jeremy Pruitt said they've had a great week of practice. I mean, just a great week.
Very comfortable.
So that makes you very, very comfortable if you're a Vols fan. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi texts in, the Steelers will rush 3, 4, and 5 in rotation and drop the rest in coverage while having 7 in the box to stop Henry, and they slow him down. Meanwhile, Big Ben eats us alive. Whether we blitz or get pressure, he's got all day to throw. Steelers win by 3 scores, but go Titans.
Is this a Steelers,
man,
this is a Steelers
Laker,
fan in disguise?
That's that Laker fan again.
That's that Laker fan who hates LeBron.
Yeah, that's that Laker fan that's rooting for the Heat. That's that same person. I know it is.
What's the name on this? Who's
it's
the
Heidi.
Name?
Look,
Heidi.
I don't think defensively, if you watch the Titans play, that offense for Pittsburgh could move the ball. I think Big Ben could have a good day.
Oh, I don't think anything Heidi said there is outlandish. It's just pretty funny to hear it all, like how bad it's going to be. Like, go Titans!
That is funny.
I mean, they're only 5-0.
Nice touch. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dan with the Dixon County Fire and Rescue text in, the Rays win the World Series in 6. The Washington football team embarrasses the Cowboys on Sunday. And finally, my beloved Lions win in a shootout over the Atlanta Falcons. That would get the Lions back to 500, Joe. What are your thoughts on that?
I apologize. You keep saying, and then I keep asking, like, who is that? What's the name
it's
again?
Dan.
So Dan is a Lions
fan. You listen to a word
fan.
I say.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, I zone out when you say the name for whatever reason.
Okay.
So Dan's a Lion. We got Dan listening who's a Lions fan. Dan, I may have to put you on the program. I've got my boy Brennan on.
Well, it's not working.
On the detox from the Lions plan. But good luck to you, sir.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark from Clarksville text in, my shots are the Dodgers win 3 straight to win the World Series. The Vols lose a close game where Bama has to score a go-ahead touchdown with 30 seconds left.
Ooh.
And the Titans win with Derrick Henry rushing for 125-plus and 2 touchdowns. Titans win 31-27. And he just texted in now, throw in 2 sacks for Jadeveon Clowney. So
wow.
He's taking my called shot and going another mile with it. Like it.
That's almost the booyah base of called shots that Munson gave us. Not quite, but that's quite a little gift.
I like it when people load up on
shot.
And another
shot.
Thing,
yeah.
Alabama gymnastics will be pretty good.
There
this
he
year.
Comes.
They usually are.
Yeah. They'll be good again this year.
There you go.
Just throwing it
Add
out
it
there.
To the list.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in, the Titans will win going away, but Titans have more injury trouble that costs them in the long run. That is interesting, like if – the Titans, you know, they win the game, but you lose a tackle this week in the process. That could be a big problem heading down the rest of the season, already without Taylor Lewan.
I'm surprised there have not been any called shots on trades yet, because that's kind of, you know.
Would you like to do that?
Well, I like going with one so I can remember it.
And another thing.
And another thing.
But I do. But I
Dwayne think, Haskins gets traded.
Remember, the trading deadline isn't next week either. It's the following week.
Yes.
So maybe that's a good call shot for next week. But I do think the Titans have got to be looking hard at things they could do. But, you know, this week is also part of that, too, the evaluation of this week. And Isaiah Wilson, who, by the way, was sick again yesterday.
Yes, did not practice again yesterday. There was more love for the Vols on our text there than I thought.
Well,
a little bit more faith.
You know what? And this is something that I heard in these fantastic Vol Twitter interviews. It's like you get kicked in the face. I'm paraphrasing, but someone basically said this. You get kicked in the face, and then you're all down, and by Friday, you're ready to beat the national champs, baby. We are back. Let's go.
It's like that GIF from The Office with Steve Carell. It's like, yes, I am ready to get hurt again. That's what it's like.
Exactly.
That's what it's like being a Vols fan. Now, look, I even talked myself into yesterday of, hey, maybe they can hang in there, and it'll be close in the fourth.
Listen, the Vols up. The Vols can line up and run the football at Alabama. I am confident of that. And that is not normally the case. That has not been the case in many of these matchups. There's one thing that I give them that could matter.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caleb texts back in. What do you think about Julio Jones to the Titans if we're going to talk trades? Julio Jones.
I don't understand. I would say if you had a list of needs, I could see definitely having more receiver depth. I mean, everybody would love a star receiver, but you're not taking on his deal right now. That's not what this team is great offensively.
Send him to Green
Bay. Great,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Robbie wants him in Green Bay. I just say if they're gonna give up draft capital, to me it's got to be for help at offensive tackle now. That's got to be that, and then way down you have the, you know, inside linebacker depth, receiver depth. But I think their receivers have demonstrated that they're just fine if they're healthy.
Real quickly, let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian from Nashville texts in and predicts that the BYU Cougars will win the college football national championship this year. Go Cougars.
Dang.
BYU, baby.
Now there's a
shot. They look
pretty
good. I don't know if they're going to win the national championship, but they look pretty good so
far.
They
do.
Undefeated.
So 1984, Robbie Bosco, undefeated BYU Cougars. National champs. Back when you had to play, they could get in the bowl game was a Holiday Bowl against 6-6 Michigan, but they won the national title.
Great participation once again on Call Your Shot Friday. They keep getting bolder every week, and I love it. I'm here for it. Great
good
job.
Stuff. Good stuff.
From our listeners there on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, we'll dive back into the Titans and Steelers. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us as he does each and every week at 8 o'clock on Friday. That's coming up next. But first, make sure you're tuning in to this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This Sunday's NFL Game of the Week is the San Francisco 49ers taking on the New England Patriots. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. with a 3:25 p.m. kickoff. We'll be right back with Teron Davenport here on Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.